Blog Talk Radio. Okay, family, I'd just like to say, first and foremost, all praise is due to the Most High for us being able to speak to one another and for me to be here for you. And another broadcast of the podcast, Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. We have an action-packed show for you tonight. Or should I say podcast? You know, I just say show because it's a force of habit growing up. Remember the flip wheels? Oh, a lot of the younger people, you, certain things I say you might have to Google and fly back in time a little. You know, we used to have the Flip Wilson show, Sonny and Cher show, you know. There were a lot of good shows on back then, you know. Kojak, that was a good show. I like Kojak. But anyway, for people of a certain age, we all remember the good times, right? And that's a good thing. We can meditate off good times. Young people, please tune in. And for the young people that are listening to the podcast, I'd like to welcome you and thank you. And understand, we're not trying to be disciplinarians to you up here. We're just trying to give you the benefit of our wisdom because they say with age comes wisdom. Unfortunately, if you see somebody that might be 25, 30 years older than you with their pants sagging or wearing a do-rag trying to be like a young cat with a white T-shirt down to his knees, you need to look at him and tell him, hey, you got some growing up to do, mister, or even a missus. But anyway, that's what we try to do here. We try to educate. We try to spiritually uplift. We try to mentally nourish you with the guests that we have come on. So once again, I just want to thank you. I hope everybody had a safe and nice week. And no, I'm not going to discuss. I'm going to say it because last night I was on my technician Jay's podcast. Everybody's, and you know, like my man Stan White said when he came on a couple of weeks ago, another weapon of mass distraction. Yeah, yeah, I'm talking about the Will Smith slap on Chris Rock. Come on now, really, huh? Now, we all know if that had been Mike Tyson standing on that stage, all right, he wouldn't have, he'd say, Mike, I got to talk to you. After everything was said and done, he might have pulled Mike to the side and said, hey, Jay didn't like what you said, you know. But come on, man, you know. And it has nothing to really do with culture, you know, even though a lot of people who are have a misinterpretation or are gullible to believing what the stereotype is of black men. First thing they probably said was, ooh, angry black man. But like I said, the arrogance, and then later on I heard an apology came, you know, from Mr. Smith to Mr. Rock. But I know one thing. Before he hosted that show and got smacked, you know, he was supposed to have a tour. And I heard that his tickets have shot through the roof. So was it staged? Don't know. Don't care. All right? We got bigger fish to fry, as they say. All right? The war. Okay? And I ask people. See, people are, you know, and don't get me wrong. Putin is going to have to answer to the Most High for what he's doing because innocent people are getting killed. But I listened to a program day before yesterday, retired General McGregor. Now, the man is a retired general, all right? He's been in the service for many years, and the man kind of knows what he's talking about. He was being interviewed, and he said that what's being broadcast on mainstream media here in America is not all the way true, meaning the part about them just firing on civilians and, you know, just wanting to shoot people at random. That's not what they're doing. The strategy, according to the general, right, is that they want to surround the Ukrainian troops because once you have the troops surrendering, end the war, okay? So, and I heard it's just a certain part of the country that they want to basically take over. So, and like I said, I also heard a podcast where a gentleman was stating a stat. He was saying that at one time, close to 14,000 Russians were killed by Ukrainians. But it's not the front page of the newspapers over here, Washington Post, New York Times. I guess they don't report. They report what they want to report. And like I said, y'all know how I feel about it, along with my brother Rashad and some of the other people that come on the panel. You know, it's basically influenced, you know, by the people who just want you to let you know what they want you to know, all right? And if you don't believe that, well, stay tuned. That's why we come to you. And also, I just want to tell you how this country is helping to fund the war. Now, you know, Russia and China have a cozy relationship. And, you know, when you go to a 99-cent store, like I said last night on my man Jay's podcast, when you go and walk in a 99-cent store, or most places where you buy your clothes, you flip the label, what do you see? Made in where? China. Made in Taiwan. We haven't cut off dealing with China, okay? And China is dealing with Russia because Russia sells oil to them, all right? And one of the biggest wheat producers in the world, okay? So when we deal with China, China deals with Russia, wow. And then the United States sent weapons over to Ukraine, and that's another thing. Do you really think that the Ukrainians are going to win this war? No, no. They can't beat them. No, no. And I'm going to tell you something else. I'm a little nervous, and y'all don't hardly hear me say that. I'm going to tell you why. Because according to the general, when I listen to him, the United States has close to 500, a little over 550 nuclear warheads. Russia, a little over 1,000. So I'm going to tell you right now, you might as well kiss this earth goodbye if there's a nuclear war, because it will not be any more earth as we know it. Everybody will be annihilated, okay? But I know that the United States, and you all know that they sent weapons over for the Ukrainians to help them fight the Russians, right? Because they really want Putin out, you know that. But like I said, family, think about it, okay? Stock went up in the military. This is a fact. Google it, okay? Or find your news source. You ain't going to find it on Channel 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, or 11, all right? The military-industrial complex, which is nothing but a killing war machine, that's all it is, right? Their stock went up. War profits people, the people that enrich themselves from war, okay? You think they sent those with that military gear over there to Ukraine for free. They said, oh, have this, you know, in the name of democracy. We want to see your country win. Uh-uh. Somebody's paying for that, okay? That's why the stock went up, okay? I'm telling you, it's hypocrisy. This country has over, they say, 200-some-odd military bases in different countries around the world. Now, can you name one country that has their military base in this country? Oh, strategic spots. See, I'm trying to tell you, we're in the belly of the beast, okay? But they try to portray that we're doing things for democracy. Your democracy may not be the next culture's democracy. How about that, huh? Anyway, family, we're supposed to have the lady on from Street Corner, and I think, according to my technician, he told me that she's having a problem getting through. So if she's too late because she had the first half hour, then we're going to have to go to my dear sister, Jacqueline Ali, and she has some wonderful guests on. I spoke to her earlier, so she'll be on. In the meantime, I just also want to say thank you, podcast family, because, you know, every week I give you guys a report. There were 14 new people who ordered their green tea, Dr. Lee's green tea, all right? Now, whatever you do, please make sure you have pen and pad. When you come on our podcast, it's not Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Elmer Fudd, okay, Cartoon Network. You know, we talk about serious issues. We tell jokes up here sometimes because every now and then you got to have a little laughter. You got to chop it up a little. You know that. But we try to invigorate your mind, and we want you to ask questions, all right? And sometimes I have to apologize for the panel that I have because we get into it with our guests, you know, in a good way because we talk to each other, not at one another. And basically, sometimes we don't have the time to take questions from the audience, but I've told you guys every week that we're working on a second podcast that'll be coming up. We're looking at the month of May, all right? So I just want to say hold your horses. We're going to be doing, I'm working on trying to do and give other people their shows, all right? We're working on a six-day-a-week platform. That's right. We're going to start doing Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and, of course, I'm staying with my man Jay here on Blog Talk Radio, but we're going to do the conference call. So that way we won't be limited because sometimes I have guests on and they want to extend their time, and we can't because we only have a two-hour platform here. And Jay has been gracious a couple of times, let me run a little overtime for letting him know in advance, you know, so I thank him for that, you know. But anyway, the green tea, the most potent form of green tea, I tell you guys, look, you know we push – health and healing on here. We're not trying to tell you what to eat. We're just trying to give you advice and hopefully motivate you to see if it works for you. Because if it works for you, we're happy. because I tell you, I'm happy to see somebody healthy rather than all bent over and want to know why they're sick and because they can't change their diet for their betterment, okay? I mean, discipline. That's all it is, discipline and feeling better. And there's so many wonderful recipes. You don't have to eat the crappy stuff. Rashad tells you that all the time. Stan White, abundantly wealthy Stan, came on 2 weeks ago. The brother now is down. And Brother Abdul Ishmael from the health food store up here in East Orange. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm headquartered in Newark, New Jersey, better known as the Brick City. And once again, I'd like to thank you for coming on Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself. This is your first time. Please stay tuned and tell a friend. And for those of out there, I know certain people have told other friends about it. And right now, from what I understand, we are airing now in about at least 8 different states. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're doing something right, and I appreciate you very much. You know, now, so far, I was supposed, Jay would have rung the bell if Miss Aisha had gotten through. And Street Corner is a community-based service in Harlem, and they're working with kids. And as y'all know, Brother Leon, who's on my panel from Atlantic City, he works with the children and the young men down there and the young sisters down there in Atlantic City. So I asked him to come on. But for certain reasons, sometime, and it's not too often, that sometime a guest can get a little derailed by coming on. But Sister Jacqueline is definitely there. Now, I'm going to ask Jay. Jay, did you reach out to Sister Jacqueline, the 410? Is she on?
Yes, she's on.
Okay. Did she touch base with the two gentlemen that are coming on with her?
Oh, 1 second. I just
okay.
Give me a minute.
All right, yeah, no problem. Also, just want to give shout-outs out there. Mr. Bora Alexander from the Visionary Trailblazers, much credit. That's a godsend. We also have very good friend of mine, Ms. Dawn Lewis Roberts. Then we have Ms. Karen Watley, Sister Minister Deborah, and my girl Jada from Charlotte, North Carolina. The other two ladies are from Houston, Texas. They're known as the Grace of Space. They'll be on next Saturday. And maybe Ms. Karen, if she tunes in, she's tuning in. If she cares to announce what they'll be discussing next Saturday, she's always welcome. She knows she's always off and on my panel. If there's a topic that she likes, she'll make sure she tunes in, chimes in on what we're talking about, okay? And shout out, of course, to my dear brother, Rashad. Brother Rashad El Amin, that's our in-house herbalist, all right, with the protocol, the Black Seed brother. Shout out to Brother Wally Hakeem, the Seymour's boss. Let me see, am I missing somebody? Oh, just to give you a shout out on the itinerary while Jay's trying to put everything in order over there for Sister Jacqueline to come on. After the great ladies from the Space of Grace, we're going to get real deep into our health. Dr. Leila Africa, he was a healer in our culture. He unfortunately passed away 2 years ago, but he has students, and they have a center in Brooklyn called African Holistic Health. I was talking to Sister Shazi, and they're going to come on and discuss their formulas, their immune boosters, and it's going to be very, very powerful. That's 2 hours of health and healing for you guys. And also, the last week in this month, I have a lady, she goes by the name of Renee Oaks. She's a Hebrew, practitioner of health, and she's very deep into cells, all right, cellular cleanse and things of that nature. And she puts your diet with scripture. In other words, if she tells you about grains, she'll give you a scripture from either the Torah or the Bible. So she's very deep into a lot of things, and there's going to be a lot of Q&A on that one, all right? And she has protocols, too, so we're looking forward to her coming on, all right? She gets 2 hours. She has a story to tell, trust me, because day before yesterday, I was talking to her for an hour and a half, okay? And her husband, her late husband, was a healer. He helped reverse cancer in people. And she's going to tell you how he did it. And she just picked up where he left off. So, family, this is why we ask you to tune in. Because, young people, listen, when I was younger, a lot of things really didn't bother me to think about them. But now, as you get older and you see things, I'm trying to give back to you so that you can start a little earlier than what I did and maybe some of the listeners did. So this way, you can be vibrant and healthy. And when you're looking, or you're turning 60. In fact, y'all, my birthday's next Sunday. I'll be 65. Happy birthday to me, all right? But when you're 65, you can look 30. You can actually reverse your chronological, all right? So, yeah, start now. Because trust me, either you can pay yourself or you can pay the doctor. Which one do you want to choose? And I'm just fortunate that I'm not on any medications. And I'll be turning 65 at the end of next week, all right? As you guys know, I've always told you I had a visual impairment, okay? But other than that, I have no complaints. And don't we all have challenges in life? That's why I said when you're young, you don't think about these things. Start now, all right? And tell your younger friends, your young friends, to tune in to OG. That's what y'all call us, the OGs, all right? I'm not no original gangster, but I am original. I tell them, ain't nothing gangster about me, all right? I just hold my own. And it just spiritually uplifts me when I can do something to help somebody. I like that. I've always been that way, even when I was younger, okay? I've always been never been an envious or jealous person because, trust me, growing up, I had fun, okay? So I'm not jealous, and I tell people, enjoy life. Enjoy life. But anyway, Jay, is Sister Jacqueline there? Hold on, podcast family. Hold on to your seats. Ready to put that seatbelt on. Sister Jacqueline is about to give us some impactful information along with our guests.
She's live for us.
She's live. Sister Jacqueline.
Yes, yes. Good evening.
Peace and blessings. Street corner
peace
for some reason. Yeah, street corner for some reason, sister. They got a little held up, so we're going to move on and then bring the sister back some other time. But are your two guests with you?
I just sent them a text message,
mm-hmm.
and I got a message from one of the guests saying that they tried to call and it wouldn't let him in. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, you know what? I think, Jay, if I'm not mistaken, depending on who the carrier is, right, then they would have a problem getting in, Jay. How's that go?
Yeah, but I can call them if you give me the number.
Okay. Yeah, pull him backstage because in case we got some crazy people, we don't want people calling the brother's line.
Yes.
So I'll keep talking, and when you're ready to come back on, sister, just whistle. I'll be talking.
All righty.
Thank you.
You're
all right, family. So that means I got to keep talking to y'all, but I enjoy that. All right, because I'm very much long-winded. All right. Oh, by the way, roll call time. Brother Rashad Elamine, are you there, my brother?
Yes, sir, brother.
All right. This brother, he's been with me since day one, family. All right. This is Brother Rashad Elamine. This brother is the in-house herbalist, all right, and the black seed oil, man, in case you need some black seed. Brother Leon, are you there, my brother?
Yes, brother, I'm here.
All right, my man. All right, and I should have did the ladies first. Don't beat me up, Carol. Sister Carol, are you there? Oh, 242. I think Jay forgot to unmute her. Jay, if you're listening, unmute Carol, 0242. And also, while I'm waiting on her, because I know she's there, because we saw her numbers. Sister Adrian, are you there, sister? got some people calling in late today. Okay. Okay. But anyway, we got the two brothers on, family. All right. I guess they'll be joining us soon. I think Jay has to mute them. Y'all got to unmute yourself. Remember, you have to hit the number one button. All right. And then Jay, whatever your last four numbers are, I gave him your last four numbers if you're listening. You have to hit the number one button. Okay. And then we could bring in. That's my panel, family. All right. I talked
yeah.
to them too. Okay. But who's that?
This is Dr. Ali.
Oh, okay. You're back. Okay.
Yes, yes. Your engineer is going to call my two guests and bring them in.
Yeah, he'll ring the bell and let us know when they're in. And you, I guess you could take it from there.
Okay.
So
but I need your please help and guide me in the event that something goes over my head, because you know this better than I do.
Yes, ma'am. I will do that, my dear sister. Okay, Jay, what'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said Karen is on. She's live too.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know. Yeah,
okay.
I know.
I got.
Then you know you want to bring her on. You want to take care of her, and then you know give her an opportunity.
No, because what happened is. She wanted to listen tonight because she's at an event. So
oh,
she's on mute.
I got you.
Yeah, that's why I didn't do that.
All
that's
right.
why I didn't, you know. But anyway,
gotcha.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm just saying, you can still give your people your bio until we reach, till Jay rings the bell and your guests come on, because he's going to bring them in on his end, you know.
Okay.
And then you can interview them. But in the meantime, real fast, sister, you can give people your bio, and then we'll just wait for that doorbell to ring. Go right ahead, because we have Rashad.
All right.
Forrest, 1 second. You know when we bring them in, you're going to hear the phone ring.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay.
Hey, Jay, what happened to 0242?
Oh, let me see. 1 second.
That's Carol.
1 second. 0-2, it's a lot of numbers here. 0-2-4-2.
Hello?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, hello. Is that
can
Carol?
Can you hear me?
Yes,
yes.
I can. Is that
can
Carol?
You hear? Yes.
Okay. Okay,
yes.
Good. Okay. I was just checking because Jay said he saw your number earlier.
Okay, yes. I'm
okay,
on.
Okay, we got Sister Jacqueline and Ali on, Carol, so she's about to do
okay.
her bio again for the new people who never heard her.
Yeah.
And then when her guests come on, Jay's going to bring them on with the door.
Hold on one. Just give me 1 second.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Hello?
Hey.
Okay. There you go,
hello.
Sister Ali.
Yes, yes. Brother William, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All righty. And Brother Forrest, please.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Give yeah, yeah.
Well, Brother
give a
William,
shout
I want to do that. I'm going to let you take over. Yeah, Brother William, this is this is Forrest Nance from Grown Folks Talking, the host. I'd like to thank you for coming on. Sister Ali told me so much about you, you know. So she's the MC now. I'm just going to sit back, and I'm going to enjoy the interview or the conversation that you guys have. Okay. This is the second person. Okay.
Hello? Hello?
Brandon?
Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
All right, wonderful. So I have both of you, both William and Brandon?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am so happy to have you both. I truly, please accept apologies for the technical things that took place, but we worked it out, and you're here, and that's what counts.
Absolutely, absolutely.
All right, all right. Okay. All right. Now, what I would like to do is have each of you introduce yourselves, and I'll cue you in, and so that folks will understand your background, and then I'll be able to merge in the reason why we have you here. Okay?
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Brother William, can you
yes.
do an intro, please, for yourself?
Yes. I am William Wright Eel. father of four, mentor, educator, counselor, and proud track and field coach of a 17-year-old.
All right. All right. Wonderful. And Brother Brandon, can you do an intro of you as well?
Certainly. Hi, everybody. My name is Brandon Washington. I'm a tech ed teacher. I currently teach at Hamilton Township School District, where I instruct five sections of graphic arts and one section of materials processing. And I'm also an adjunct professor at LaSalle University, where I teach classes that pertain to technology, business, and entrepreneurship. When I'm not doing that, I'm spending time with my daughter, a four-year-old, and I'm active in the community as a community leader working on a space that I'll talk more about later, along with my brother William.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. So how did you two meet each other? How did you meet?
Interestingly enough, I work at the University of Pennsylvania in the engineering department, and my supervisor is the one who had attended a community meeting where Brandon actually spoke, and she encouraged me to reach out to him because of the community programs that we're looking to create for our engineering students so that way they could get involved and engage in the Philadelphia community using their engineering skills. And I actually reached out to Brandon through LinkedIn, and I was had my fingers crossed hoping he would respond, and he did immediately. And then we actually had talked on the phone probably maybe like a day later, just, you know, going in more detail about, you know, the organization that he created, like live stream at 1901 B Washington Avenue. And then what, you know, we were looking for at Penn in regards to using our students to help with the endeavor in which he has you know, taking on the task to help, you know, better the neighborhood and just provide outlets for the, you know, for those children in that community. And, you know, from there, Brandon shared with me all the other things that he was involved in, and I by all means, it was stuff that spoke to my heart and really spoke to my spirit. And I said, bet. I'm like, whatever you're doing, like, the answer is yes. You don't even got to ask me. All you got to do is tell me, yo, this is what I'm working on. And I'm like, I'm there. Because, you know, the mission that he has just within his heart, not what he's working towards, but it's the mission that's within his heart that aligned with me. And I said, I got to be a part of that. And I got to help this brother out because, you know, you have a lot of people that want to do things and not necessarily have the full support. And for me, I am looking for like minds to link up with to do those things because there's a lot of work that needs to be done in the Philadelphia community. And, you know, you have people that want to come along, but you don't have those folks that necessarily want to blaze the path themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And you guys are truly,
100%.
Truly, yeah, blazing a path. Brandon, do you have some insight you would like to share in terms of you two meeting?
Yeah, no, for sure. So like Will said, he gave me a call, and, you know, it was awesome. Like, I had recently came out in the press about my endeavor. I was trying to raise $5,000 to secure this space in order to provide programming and resources to the community. And like Will said, he was one of the first person to reach out to me as soon as, you know, I got in the paper. And since then, you know, we've been like two peas in a pod with, you know, trying to get these programs off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like we just, you know, it was just like, I want to say divine, you know, like it just
mm-hmm.
fell right into place. You know, we kind of complement each other very well. And we just learned, you know, since last year and this year's span, you know, we have a lot of similarities. You know, and similar passions, and you know, and now, you know, here we are.
All right. Can you share with me the top two projects and you decide what, because sometimes it's hard to decide the importance of one over the other. But if you had to choose your two projects that really work and drive you, what would they be? Either one of you can respond, or both of you can respond.
Well, I'll start. You know, one of the things, like Will said, the program I'm trying to get off the ground, the organization I started was the Stream Engine. It's a nonprofit organization that originally I established to provide STEM education resources to the community. STEM education consists of problem-solving methods. And I felt that that was very valuable to the community that wasn't being given to the community in traditional education. But that kind of pivoted it into this network of like-minded individuals who want to do the same thing in just different capacities. And, you know, since I kind of pivoted in that direction, I've gotten members, I've met members, I've met various individuals, just like Will, who, you know, want to make an impact in the city because, you know, the city's a little sick right now, metaphorically speaking. And, you know, we're trying to provide solutions.
But anyway, I'm sorry. But anyway, go ahead. I apologize. Yeah. Go right ahead. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah, that was a disclaimer. But, you know, it's just, you know, and one of the mediums, you know, so the Stream Engine, the nonprofit, is like, you know, kind of like the body, the sort, the support. But then, like, one of the ways we're trying to reach, you know, the target demographic we feel really needs us is the solution that, you know, kind of Will came up with, or me and Will came up with organically. Will probably gives a better kind of description of it, but go ahead, Will. Tell them about that part.
Well, like the outside of literally, you know, my initial contact with Brandon for work purposes, you know, I shared with him that, you know, years past I created a mentoring program for teen fathers. I'm not a teen father, but the one thing, you know, from, you know, I taught for over 13 years in Philadelphia, Delaware, and in Savannah, Georgia. And down there I was in the correctional facility schools, and, you know, that was quite an experience. The common theme that I saw was that there were resources for, you know, teen mothers, but for teen fathers, you had three options: streets, you know, the streets to make money, jail, or death. And, you know, nationally, there was only one program that I saw that was out west that was similar to what I created. And so for a couple of years, I ran that program out of one organization, and then it was a nonprofit. When that nonprofit closed, I was running a program out of my pocket, literally, to help these young men. And some of them turned out to be success stories in their own right, and then there were, you know, a few that I lost to gun violence. And so, you know, I shared with Brandon that I had this program, and, you know, because he was saying that he wanted to do a mentorship program, and I shared it with him, and he was like, oh, my gosh, this is just, you know, drop you in, add water, and stir. And that's one of the things that we're looking to, you know, to revive or bring back again. Now, it's not just for teen fathers. It's actually for any youth, teen fathers included, but for any youth, period. Just, you know, for me and for Brandon both, we know what it is to be a black man growing up in the urban environment and the many obstacles that you're trying to dodge, avoid, some, unfortunately, that you have to go straight through. And so, you know, we just want to do our part to be able to help this next generation, because to a degree we speak their language, we understand what they're going through, and we don't have all the answers, but at least we have some, and we can push the needle just a little bit over to the right.
100%.
You know, and each one of us does our part. It really does help with each one teach one, you know, that the whole pass it along.
Their part.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Brandon, would you like to piggyback on that?
Yeah, I mean, so for sure, for sure. Yeah, so, you know, like, one thing I noticed with the majority of the ruckus being the majority of the population that's causing the ruckus in Philly are young males, range like as young as 13 to like to 30, and you know, traditionally the African American household, you know, typically has a working class or, you know, a hardworking father who's like, you know, either focused on work or not so present or not present at all, you know, and then whereas the mom, you know, is either, and that's the case, you know, the mom is either working two jobs or, you know, or just can't really connect with the male. And, you know, that personally, you know, I grew up without my father. My father passed away when I was in high school. So, like, I know from experience, you know, like the lack, like what it feels like to not have that support, but also like just wanting to know how to do things that you're not accustomed to doing because you're just not experienced being a man, you know, and then also the desire to come from that to just better understand thyself, you know, and the world around them as the person you are, you know, and the youth they've reached that conclusion and then gravitate to areas, to spaces, to energies that, you know, are not conducive to their success. And, you know, we're trying to create that space for them. You know, we're trying to create that outlet for them. And that's something that, you know, me and Will, we're kind of speaking the same language about, which kind of motivated this movement we got going on here.
All right. And, you know, from my understanding, from the conversations that Will and I have had, this is moving towards a podcast that you two are putting together, and it's entitled Stories My Father Never Told Me. Can you just either just share some more about that?
Sure. The idea came about, you know, just with the conversations that Brandon and I had, and there were a lot of similar things that we've encountered. You know, as you shared, he lost his father during when he was in high school, and my father was transient. You know, Papa was a Rolling Stone; he was in and out of my life. You know, when he was here, he was physically present, but not emotionally present. But some of the lessons that he needed to teach me, I held on to. You know, there were certain things where if he said they were very impactful, and he showed me one time or told me one time, and I got it. Because at that time, like, I just was craving for any attention from him. And then when he wasn't there, it was painful. Then I had to learn those things on my own. And then as an adult, you know, he was present. College years, he was a better grandfather than he was a father. And then he transitioned a couple of years ago from a heart attack. And, you know, there were many things that he would say you'll understand when you get older. And I understand it now. And so it is literally, the podcast literally is about us figuring out manhood, fatherhood, how to, you know, navigate both spaces, because, you know, you're a man first before you're a father. And then more importantly, what does it mean to be a man? You know, am I allowed to emote? Am I allowed to really be vulnerable? What does that look like, being a man and being vulnerable? You know, because society that says that we're to be one way, but yet and still we have a whole lot that goes on with inside of us. And a lot of times we might show anger, but there are many other emotions tied into that. That's just what we're allowed to express, that's seen as acceptable. You know, anything else, then, you know, there's a whole bunch of other words to describe you that folks will say, oh, man, well, you know, you need to man up, you need to toughen up. And it's like, well, nah. You know what? I am.
Toxic masculinity.
You know, if I could show you these things, but hey, go ahead, Brandon. Yeah, toxic. Yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Toxic masculinity. No, I mean, it's, you know, I think, you know, as society has shifted, we got to kind of just come to a conclusion of, like, what it means to be a man. You know, like, There's like different variations of it, you know, but like what does it mean to be a man, like ultimately, you know? Growing up, you know, not having my dad, you know, I had a lot of different examples of men. And thanks to my mom, like not in that way, but like, you know, she made sure I had good mentors in my life. And I noticed, you know, and like comparison to my peers, like that was a, you know, even though I didn't have my father, I had all these other guys, you know, people like showing me the way. And I have this broader perspective of what it really truly means to be, you know, the person that you are and the person that is a man. And I think that, you know, through having conversations with Will, you know, I just discovered even more aspects of manhood and you know, and different perspectives and the values and the reasons why. And I think, felt like it was a great opportunity for us to have these conversations and maybe draw attraction where we can kind of, you know, understand it and then also, like, help those who were in similar situations I was in. And then I have to go through all the bumps and bruises, you know. But that's essentially what my motives are, my ambitions are with, you know, the podcast.
Let me ask you this, because I'm going to kind of, I guess in a sense it could be considered playing devil's advocate. You want to be able to help prevent or cushion some of the bumps and bruises that you've experienced, and this is for both of you, but do you think that it's those bumps and bruises that you experienced were key to you developing and being where you are today? And by preventing that or curving that, is it, how is it possibly, and this might be, and understand, I'm speaking from a woman's perspective.
Right.
This might be something that that young males need to experience to understand. Otherwise, they don't know what the heck you're talking about. But just kind of whatever, you know, just expand on that a bit, if you can.
Right.
You're absolutely correct. We had to experience these the various incidents and stuff we've gone through. But, you know, on the flip side of going through that experience, the way in which we processed it or the outcome
that part
of whatever it may, whatever those experiences may have been, may not have
absolutely
been positive, you know, because the support system wasn't in place, you know.
I could give an example.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. So, like, for instance, you know, like, as a male, you're supposed to be very authoritative and like very, you know, seemingly powerful. So typically, you know, the man is very aggressive, right, or very angry in a sense, right. So like growing up, you know, I thought this anger that I have was appealing, right? This meanness, this roughness, this toughness,
right.
You know, and I'm thinking that's what it is, you know, and then I'm treating my significant other this way, and to the point where I discover I have anger management problems. And, you know, you see that, and literally, you know, as you go through the counseling, you discover this, right? You go back to how, you know, your example as a youth, you know, like, although I didn't have my father, you know, I found out that I exhibited toxic characteristics that he portrayed. You know, instinctually. Mm-hmm. And like, if I was made aware of that at a younger age, I could have altered those habits. I could have altered those reactions earlier, where now they're more ingrained, you know, so it's a little harder for me to do that. So like, you know, ultimately, you know, all we can do is kind of, you know, give them options for them to draw better conclusions. And hopefully they draw the conclusions we drew now versus, you know, them drawing them sooner than later.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I understand. Brother William, you'd like to piggyback on that a bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sometimes like we, One of the conversations Brandon and I had was, I shared with him, I said, my father never showed me how he processed his emotions. So for me, I was very explosive. My father was explosive too. I would break stuff as a young teenager, even as a young man in my 20s. And not realizing the damage I was causing, folks were looking at me like, oh, man, Will got a real explosive temper. They didn't realize, folks even in college were like, Dak, I didn't know you were like that. I'm like, absolutely. Easy go lucky, like to get along with everybody. But if you cross me, then I'm going to make sure that you never do that again. And, looking back, he was not a man that was allowed to even express his emotions. And I had to think about it, at a young age. He had to go with his father to go cut a relative out of a tree because they were lynched. He witnessed a relative getting shot in the stomach and his father taking him to, a doctor in Jim Crow South to get patched up, put them on a bus, and they went somewhere else to another state. I had a twin brother and sister born before me and they were premature. And he made all the funeral arrangements and did all that by himself because he didn't want that pain, to be on my mother or any other family member. And it's like he buried so much that it's like if I would have seen that vulnerability, if I would have seen my father hurt. I never saw my father cry until his mother died, mm-hmm. And by that time I'm in my late 20s, early 30s. And I knew he had feelings and emotions, but I needed to see that. And, mm-hmm. for me, I was just so explosive, and I realized that I was like, you have to be the loudest voice in the room in order to be heard. And so quite oftentimes I felt like I had to be the loudest voice in the room to be heard. And it was not healthy. I was a nice guy. I was a good guy. But folks always knew, well, you just don't want to piss Will off. And that's not a healthy outlet because you chase people away. And then, it's like that saying, take a plate, break the plate. Now, even if you glue the plate back together, it's still not the same. Once you hurt somebody's feelings, they may forgive you, but they may not act the same or trust you again. Mm-hmm. So that came across, for me at a young age. And even when I got married early, I got married like when I was 24, and our arguments would be shouting matches. Nobody was hearing anything. All we were doing was shouting at each other. And, even when I got divorced, and it's like, how do I deal with that? I don't know how to process that. And then my father even said, you'll work your way through it. But he didn't even have the tools to walk me through that when he was there mm-hmm. in my life at that time. And then, with that, just with all that we've encountered, Brandon and I just really, truly want to offer other men healthy outlets, healthy alternatives. And then even yes. also the women that we talk with and we encounter, we engage with, just letting them know, hey, you know what?
This is what we go through.
Yeah. Our silence doesn't mean we're ignoring you. Our silence means if we're silent, there's a whole lot going on inside and we just don't know how to let it out. We just don't mm-hmm. know how to, there hasn't been those safe spaces for us to be able to say, hey, you know what? I really have anxiety around this matter, or I'm stressing over this, or I'm afraid for this, because as men, we're not supposed to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be that protector, a provider. Our worth is measured by the actions of what we do. So if that's the case, then we need to make sure we produce those things and do those things that show that we are quote unquote worthy. And there's a lot more to us than just that, and that's coming out more and more. But still, it's hard to undo, generations of things that, both men and women have been taught. And, men now are getting to a point where it's like, look, I got this going on inside. I got to let this be known.
Mm-hmm. The ancestors are saying to me to offer Brother Nance to come in, chime in, and share some thoughts and ideas that he may have, even experiences in regards to what the two of you have shared thus far. So, Brother Nance?
Yes, ma'am. I want to thank the two brothers for coming on, and Sue, channeling through Sister Ali. And I just want to say to the listening audience, you guys are hitting the number one button out there. There will be a time, we'll announce it, we'll do the Q&A with the public. That's why the panel is on. They jump-started, and then from there. So for you guys hitting the number one button, just hit it once. It'll register with the technician, and we'll call you in. So please, just be patient. But Brandon and the other brother's name is William.
Yes.
Yeah, I just want to thank you brothers for coming on because we share knowledge and we try to be wiser and have an understanding of what someone's trying to bring to us because our culture needs it so much, you know. But the brother that works with the children, I have Brother Leon on. He's on my panel. The brother's from Atlantic City, and him and Coach Anderson work with the kids. So I'm going to start with Brother Brother Leon. Brother Leon, is there a question you want to ask the brother?
Yes, brother. Yes, yes. Let me start first by saying, Brother Jay, I want to say I appreciate you, brother, for everything you do and how you work out those kinks, brother, to get the brothers and the people who can't get in, that you get them in here to make sure the public can hear this, because we definitely need to hear this type stuff in here. So I want to let you know how much I appreciate that you back there doing your thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
The other thing is I want to thank you brothers for coming on. It is powerful. When y'all were speaking, what I did was I reached out to a couple of my young brothers that I've helped along the way so they could come on and tell their stories. But because, you know, I didn't know this was going to be this way, they was already engaged in doing something else, so at another time. But this is what I don't want to do right now is I don't want to take up too much time because I want to hear some of them people that pushed that one button. I want to hear what they say. But this is what I want to say to you brothers right here. Keep doing what y'all doing because you're making a difference. I'm down here dealing with these kids, the same things that y'all dealing with and even more. I've been in the middle of shootouts with these guys shooting out, taking guns from these kids, you know, and I still got success stories to run past you to tell you, to let you know that keep doing what you're doing, you're making a difference. Don't stop doing what you're doing. And what I would like, before you brothers get off the line, is I would like Brother Jay to take us behind, you know, the scene so I can get both of y'all's numbers or give y'all mine because I would like to top it up with y'all off the line. And so when I talk sometimes about this, it gets emotional for me. Because it's a struggle. It's a struggle to keep these kids out of these gangs and off these streets and off this dope and off these drugs. It is a struggle. Y'all brothers, keep doing what you're doing. Don't give up because you're going to have many success stories. You're going to see if you ain't already started to see it now. I'm ready to go talk to about 200 kids on the 27th of this month that's in a club. One of the biggest clubs in not just Jersey, not just the United States, but in the world. And that's what I do down here. And so you brothers, you keep doing what you're doing. I appreciate you guys and what y'all do. Don't get off the line without us exchanging numbers.
Yeah, Jay, that's why we had this podcast, Brother William and Brandon, because we like to connect people, you know, because that's what we have to do as a people, because for the longest, historically, our leaders have always told us to organize, you know, and we got to keep it going, you know. But me being a student of Amiri Baraka, my father put me in his organization when I was in eighth grade. That gave me my conscience, you know. But that's Brother Leon from Atlantic City, so we're going to make sure Brother Jay, near the end of the podcast, we'll make sure that you get that number. And Leon, you know I'll get the number to you. Now, also, yep. Okay, brother, just just stay tuned. You know, you're going to stay unmuted in case you want to, you know, chime in and say something. Now, also, Brother Brandon and Brother Wynn, we have our dear brother, Rashad Al-Amin. He's our in-house doctor. He's the herbalist, and he's been giving protocols out for the last 37, 38 years. And the brother deals with health and healing. He has a wealth of knowledge. He's been with me from day one. So, Brother Rashad, you want to say something to Brother Wynn and Brother Brandon?
Okay, yes, Forrest. I just want to thank the two brothers for sharing that information, and may they continue to be successful in their endeavors. And because, you know, we need the young people to be out there helping others, and our young people need a lot of help. I mean, seriously. So whatever you can do for them, keep doing it, and may the Creator bless you in your endeavors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sister Carol.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes, sir.
The one that's interviewing them, great interview.
That's Sister Ali, yeah.
Sister Ali, great interview. Great interview.
Sister Jacqueline. Jacqueline Ali.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to tell you, you know, I told Brother William and Brother Nance that I was nervous. Because, you know, I'm the type that I've got it T's crossed, so I really, truly appreciate the support. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, anytime. You know that. Well, you still got some time, Sister Ali, so this is your moment. Go right ahead.
All right. So
Sister Ali, hold on for 1 minute. I'm so sorry.
Sure.
I forgot. We have Sister Carol on. Sister Carol, would you like to say
something? Yes.
The way she said that, boy, she's going to beat me up after this program. So
I'm not.
I didn't forget you. This is Sister Carol, Sister Jack Ali. Sister Ali, this is Brother Michael Collins' sister.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Hello there. How are you?
Wonderful. I am so, so grateful to you, brother, because he's still making all of this come together and work even from the other side. So much love. Much love.
Thank you. Thank you. And back to you. So, brothers William and Brandon, thank you. Thank you. Sounds like some great things that you are putting in place. And what I wanted to ask you to elaborate on a little bit, some of the things that you're putting in place to engage the young men. Are you using, like, the STEM? You're doing, more educational things or more activities? What kind of things are you using to engage them?
Good question.
I was making a mixture of both. I started to do a STEM program on Tuesdays, but then we provide like a variety of programs within a space. The goal is exposure, right? The goal is exposure and instruction. So, you know, exposing the space that got into the paper is a community center that possesses content creation technologies for creatives, right? So, like, the idea is, you know, if you have a message you want to send, like, right now, if you're not online, like we're on right now in an audio form, you know, you may get overlooked. So, the space, it's to have those technologies. So we got, like, a podcast room in there. We got a nice instructional area where, you know, we got technology that's been donated. And then we have a nice little photography space that, you know, double as an art gallery. So the kids see, you know, what their creativity can produce and then have the resources and direction, you know, to produce great things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And are you having gentlemen in the community come in and volunteer? How's that working out?
Yeah. So right now I'm working with a group called the gentleman goes by the Carrier. He's a community leader and music artist. And, I've gotten some volunteers to support the kids. And then I'm also part of an organization called the Philadelphia Chapter Frontiers International. And, you know, they're an auxiliary group. So you know, we just kind of leverage other organizations. But the podcast right now is in infancy stage, and but the programmings are underway.
Okay, that sounds great. Congratulations, and keep doing the wonderful work that you're doing. It's really is really needed. So keep it up.
Great.
Well, thank you, Sister Carol. I appreciate that. Rebuttal toward what was being put out here, and she's a lovely lady. She's on my panel, guys, and she's from out there in Strong Island, better known as Long Island. So, but okay, Sister Ali, you got that second win now, so we're gonna go back to you, and then after you finish your second win, talking to Brother William and Brother Brandon over there. Then we're going to go to the listening audience with the Q&A. Now, before you talk, Sister Ali, just want to make sure I didn't miss anybody. Adrian, if you're there, you want to speak up? Okay, she's not on. Okay, anybody else want to say anything that's unmuted? Okay, we're back to you, Sister Ali. Go right ahead.
Okay, all righty. Even though the podcast is in its infancy stage, can you tell me the purpose, your vision, and that you have for the podcast?
And I know Brandon can back me up and fill in on this as well. There are a few things that we are looking to accomplish with this podcast. We want to be able to provide folks with resources of healthy alternatives, healthy outlets for various topics that we will be covering. And then also with the space in which we're working in, you know, for some topics, we're going to actually have like a live studio audience. So that way it's a more interactive conversation, organic one that takes place. And, you know, the goal of it is not for us to be talking at folks, but to actually share the knowledge, the wealth of information that we've acquired from various elders that helped us to get to where we are right now, just in our maturation of adulthood. You know, we are still growing as folks, and we're growing as fathers and as partners, you know, so that way, you know, our children benefit from all the battles that we've gone through, the healing of those emotional scars, and just being transparent with them. You know, there were a lot of times where, you know, conversations that Brandon and I had, it's like, you know, if our parents would have been transparent with us, you know, and thinking that, well, no, they're not going to be able to handle that. You know, children are resilient, and that would have helped us so that way, you know, there were certain paths that we wouldn't have to have gone down. Now, yes, there's truth to having to have gone down those paths, but, you know, some things you can learn through other people's experiences. And, you know, if somebody knows, hey, you know what, there's a pit right there, I've been down the path that you're going, you don't have to let them fall in. And so that's, and it's not about coddling or, you know, because you still have to allow folks to live life, but it really is to be able to produce healthier outlets so that way, you know, it doesn't have to end in behavior that is self-destructive.
In other words, letting them know that there are other options, that it's not just a one-track way. There are options that they can consider and utilize that will produce other results, different results.
Absolutely.
Brother Brandon, would you like to expound on that in terms of just the purpose and the focus for the podcast and what the two of you are working to accomplish with that platform?
Ultimately, what, you know, Brother William said, in addition to just, I mean, or really just to be a resource and out, and hopefully to become a resource, you know, where we create some engagement, where, you know, create a way to point, you know, these kids in the right direction, tell them, you know, reinforce things they should do. Ultimately, and not even the youth, but just anybody who's in, you know, similar situations that the podcast touched on.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, also learn about what it is to be a man. You know, I don't have all the answers, and I'm excited to discover more as we get more engagement from everybody.
Exactly. You know, as you were saying that, something came to mind, and you may have, either one of you may have a response, or it might be something that will just generate discussion, but how do you engage or handle parents and the parenting styles that parents have in terms of their children? And you know, because sometimes you might come across some parents that, how dare you tell me how to raise my child, and become very defensive when that's not your focus. I know. It just came up in my spirit, and I had to share it. And it doesn't mean that you have the answers, but I just had to put it out there.
I mean, I have my approaches. You can start, Will. I'm sure you probably deal with it too. So, yeah.
I laugh because, you know, when parents become self, you know, when they become defensive, and they're, you know, like, "How dare you?" You know, there's a level of embarrassment on their end.
Mm-hmm.
Really, like, "How dare you, you know, call me on my stuff?" And you can see, and as a result of that, it's you know, my child is nothing more than a mirror reflecting back all that it is that they see, hear, observe, all that I've poured into them, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent. And so, you know, it's something in which you got to handle, you know, honestly, gently, letting them know that you're not judging. You want to be on the same page with them, because the focal point is the child, and, you know, the love that you have for their child, and wanting to
100%.
Help them to literally grow and mature in a healthy fashion and manner. So
yes,
it really is like individually case by case, but it's learning not to take
that,
nothing personal that they say.
That part.
And, you know, throughout the 20 years I've been, you know, working with children, because I started at the age of 18, you know, as a camp counselor at the YMCA in North Philly, Columbia North YMCA, and some fathers wanting to fight or fight your boyfriends or whomever after work, and it's like, you know, pulling them to the side and talking to them, really, you know, man to man. It's like, yo, I'm trying to get back in good with my girlfriend or my wife and all, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, listen, brother, I'm on the same page with you, but, you know, we can't do this in front of the kids. You know, we got to set the example. We got to set the bar. And, you know, having a healthy dialogue and discussion is something in which they need to see, not violence, not this, you know what I'm saying? You know, because sometimes it's just being able to step back and remove, you know, you, yourself, and the other party from the entire situation. So, you know, the person's true face, you know, can be seen. Brandon, I know you got some stories now.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure. I first have to assess, you know, whether or not the person can really, like, receive what I'm trying to say here, right? Because, like, if a parent comes at me like that, you know, they have some either have an inferiority complex or some narcissistic tendencies. Because, like, if I'm telling anything to your child, it has nothing to do with you. You feel me? It's me, you know, trying to share my life experience and what has worked for me, and they can take it or leave it. I'm not telling them to do nothing because I can't. I'm not their parent. You are. But I'm their teacher. Mm-hmm. My responsibility is to expose you to to educate you, to make you question things, to make you think, to help you overcome obstacles. But I can't tell you what to do at ultimately. I can advise you. I can whisper wise counsel in your ear. But like, nobody can make anybody do anything at the end of the day.
You better believe it.
So if your child is resonating with the things I'm saying, maybe you should, reflect that versus whatever method you're using, because it's not working out. If we're having this conversation. So a lot of times, if I'm having these conversations, they turn into lessons for the teachers. I mean, for the parents. Like let's assess the situation here. Like, I have no animosity for you. Like, I'm a good person. I'm here to help, not to hinder. But yeah, that's my 3 cents on that. It's just one of those things. You just gotta de-escalate. And 9 times out of 10, it's not even about the fact that they feel inadequate as a parent. It's something entirely different. One of the biggest issues right now that I'm noticing in school is students a youth self-worth. Right. And I want to say that it's connected to the cell phone usage. Right. Yep. I have this one memory of my youth. It's just like I gravitated towards my dad versus my mom. Where my dad, for one, like, I rarely see him. But when I did see him, fully engaged, we always hang out. It was like I play one. But when my mom came home and she was home, she would watch television and do something entirely different and was not engaged. And I resented her for that. Right. So you got these kids going up. I can't imagine what it's like living in a household where my parents stare at their phone more than they stare at me. That would make me feel weird a little bit, imagine. So it could be that. It also depends on the – and then, that's with the younger parents. With the older parents, they typically don't have an understanding of the technology and how it's impacting the youth. Where, kids are hypervigilant now because they're constantly under watch, no matter what they do. And it's tracked for life. Whereas we were kids, I could get away with something, that it won't surface up. No one has a picture of it when I was in 10th grade, 8th grade, or 9th, 7th grade. But now, you got to be extra, these kids have this extra pressure now. But I'm not,
otherwise known as TikTok. but anyway, you okay, yeah. I'm just saying.
Yep.
All right. I'm going to ask a different type of question only because it was on the bullet point list that William gave me. Can you, either of you or both of you, tell me or tell us about 1901B Washington Avenue?
So that's the project that got in the paper. And 1901B, Washington Avenue, otherwise known as 1901, right? It's just called 1901. It's a community center that caters to creatives. And, the goal was to create a multifaceted place that the community could take advantage of, that possessed technologies that fostered content creation, right? So, the idea was, not only would the residents in the area could, have a place where they could take pictures, meet clients, and really just engage, right? Just, have activities to do, access to high-speed internet and computers to, make their presence online. But also we would provide, instruction, programs and events like Painting with a Twist or like the STEM program I do on Tuesdays for the community to take advantage of. Today we had people who have their little hustles, have an opportunity to, share their merchandise, and then also gives me an opportunity to, work with these people to develop their business. I found myself doing a lot of coaching, do a lot of what I do at LaSalle, in the community. I want to do it, so. That's ultimately, what it's about. It's about creating a space where we can have opportunities and situations like that where we can organically better one another, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. William, did you want to respond before I throw another little something in there?
Brandon nailed it on the head. And The one thing, in a lot in conversations that we've had, we just wanted to be like a beacon in the community where folks know, even if we don't have an immediate answer for them, that we can provide resources, you know, with some research or reaching out to the right people to connect folks, connect people in the community with. Because, you know, essentially, you really don't have those hubs anymore where folks know where to go for looking for any and everything. So, I mean, the space is absolutely beautiful. And like Brandon said, you know, really each room has its own theme, has its own energy. And, you know, what can be done there is the possibilities are limitless.
Awesome. Right now, the two of you, your focus and your energy are primarily in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, because that's where your communities are. What are your thoughts about expanding to other states, other communities outside? Because one thing I've learned from podcasts, it doesn't stay within the areas that one starts, that it expands and goes out to many different cities, states, across the country. What are your thoughts or ideas regarding that? Even if you haven't had a conversation about it, just share it.
I mean, that's a good question, because that's something in which even we, you know, talked about, you know, further down the line with Stories My Father Never Told Me, being able to take these conversations, you know, to other spaces, especially, you know, college campuses, because you're going to have both, you know, men and women who are going to be able to relate to us in various ways. Some who are going to say, you know what, I've had good relationships and interactions with both of my parents, so they're going to be able to give, you know, a different perspective and some insight that, you know, we may not even have. And so, you know, that's something in which we, you know, we've talked about, you know, once we get, we're further down the line with this, but it's a conversation that we definitely want to be able to take on the road and be able to connect with, you know, the resources in whatever space we go to, so that way that community would have those resources. You know, it's not something in which it's not something in which we're like, it's only Philadelphia and it has to stick here, but we do realize that things will work in various areas that we do here, and some things won't because of just how certain things are germane to various locations.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my thoughts are, you know, as long as, you know, it elevates, if it elevates to a point where, like, my work-life balance is kind of disrupted, then, you know, it's not for me. I have a four-year-old who I want to be present with, a four-year-old daughter at that. And, you know, I just remember my dad was really active in the community. My dad, I don't know if any guys ever heard of him. His name is Ron Washington. He started the Black Student Union at LaSalle. And, like, he got Muhammad Ali and, like, Samus Davis Jr. to come there. That was, like, his like, one of his claims of fame or whatever. But he's also, like, a entrepreneur. He had a restaurant on South Street. And, like, I just remember not having him not being around as much. And, like, that's something I want to do. So being cognizant of that, you know, this could elevate us to a point where, like, it could put me in a position where, you know, I could be more accessible to my daughter, but it can also take me away from her. And then if it does, then I just want to create the blueprint and pass it off, you know, so that, you know, it can continue to make an impact. But we'll see. I think the higher power definitely has something in store for us. And I'm looking forward, you know, to seeing where this takes us.
Yeah, because I see Philadelphia as being a microcosm and that this is going to expand. But again, it's how, not just how the two of you see the vision, but how everything evolves as a result of your interactions with students at whatever age, adults at whatever age, and the communities that they represent.
Absolutely.
Brother Nance?
Yes, sir. I mean, yes, ma'am, I'm here. Yes. Sister Ali, I want to ask the brother, was that Brother Wim or Brandon who said his father was Ron Washington?
That was Brother Brandon.
Brother Brandon, I want to ask you a question about your dad. Now, you said, of course you do, Brother Muhammad Ali in there, but what was your father credited for doing? I want to make sure I got that right.
So there was an African American heritage event at LaSalle University. I want to say either in '70s or '60s. It was around the town when they organized the all student walkout or something where they organized a bunch of black student unions. But essentially, he was able to have this huge event at Worcester Hall. It was like butt to butt, and he got Muhammad Ali, Sammy Davis Jr., and a couple other, Walter Palmer. Do you know who Walter Palmer is?
To come to this event.
He was an activist during the time. He was one of the organizers. He teaches African American studies at University of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Yeah, Brother Palmer. Yeah, yes. I know who he is, Brandon.
Yeah, Rashad, did you know who Brother Palmer was?
I really don't.
Yeah, I'm glad. See, once again, brother Brandon. That's why we have to communicate, because now we know who the brother is. So if his name gets mentioned, we're gonna be like, oh, Brother Brandon and Brother Wim came on. Now, yes, we're not too familiar with the background of the brother other than what you told us, but I'm sure he has a storied past. Is the brother still alive, or did he pass?
Brother Walter Palmer. Dr.
Yes.
Palmer?
Yes.
I think he's still alive. He runs in the Penn Relays. It's kind of funny. I haven't heard that he's passed.
He's still alive.
Okay.
Because
yeah.
William, you work at University of Penn, so you would have that connection.
He actually spoke. Yeah, that must be the Senior Olympics, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Like he spoke about a month ago.
Oh, wow. Oh, we're going to have to reach out to him, Sister Ali, through Brother Brandon.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. He's the man.
Yes, we're going to have him on. That's with age right there. That's what I'm talking about.
He spoke about a month ago at Penn in one of the resource centers, the African American Resource Center. And he spoke on like a number of publishings that he wrote, and just sharing knowledge with like the Black Penn community on, you know, how to navigate various spaces. So yeah, now he's very much alive still.
Oh wow, and he's running races. And Brother Brandon, Brother William, we always push for, and I wanted to ask you a question too. Then we're gonna go to the unless Sister Ali wants to still continue to say something, because I don't want nobody getting mad at me. So I was hitting the number one button, I couldn't get in. My dear brothers, with the young people, okay, do you have a nutrition program? Because we're big on this podcast with health and healing. Brother Rashad, who you heard, came in on my board. We had Brother Abundantly Wealthy Stan White came on 2 weeks ago, but we always bring people in. We have our dear brother Abdul Ishmael. You know, we always have sessions where we try to encourage people to eat better, especially as we get older, because next Sunday I'll be 65, and I've been a vegan now for 10 years, all right? And I look up to the reason why Brother Rashad has been on this podcast with me from day one is because when I was looking in the direction for better knowledge of nutrition and health, I went to Brother Rashad because he had the knowledge. He went to school for it, and the brother practices what he stands for. If he says that he doesn't do a certain thing, you don't have to worry about him sneaking off trying to get a double cheeseburger. And I was talking to Sister Ali earlier, and I brought this up to someone else. I forgot the name. Maybe Brother Rashad could chime in on this, But there's a well-known, it's not, it wasn't Carvel, and it wasn't Baskin and Robbins, but it's some ice cream giant. They've been out for years. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but you guys will probably hear about it soon because it'll be on your, for those who like to watch a lot of TV, you'll see the commercial where they got this three, what did you say?
Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen.
Yes.
They got this burger out. I mean, it would have to take two of our mouths to get a whole bite in there. I think it's a 3/4 pound burger or something. And I was like, wow. And they're putting this thing out now. Before they were just strict ice cream, now they're putting in this it's crazy what they're putting out there. People are lined up. I told Sister Eileen, I went to Costco, so I go out there to get my blueberries. And there was a line out in out here in New Jersey where they had the Chick-fil-A out in Union, New Jersey. I mean, there was a line out there. I'm like, these people don't know what they're doing to themselves. And a friend of mine works security at McDonald's. I spoke to him about a week ago. He said, Forrest, you're not going to be, this guy comes in here every night to eat some McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, man. So my question to you, my two dear brothers, is, do you have a nutrition program for the kids? Because they have to learn about these things early, because if not, they're going to repeat the sins of their parents. Because as we've learned, the science has taught us that if it's not, a lot of things are not genetically inherited from us. It's the grandmother and the grandfather ate like that, then they give it to their children, then the parents eat like that, then the kids eat like the parents, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, some grandparents had a very healthy regimen, but I know that my grandmother, she fried a lot of fish, and we all know that fried food in any form is not good, but she meant well. Other recipes she had, I know, were healthy, you know. But I ain't going to lie, when I was younger, I didn't know no better. I like when she fried them porgies now, okay? But I wouldn't eat that because I know what fried food will do to me, all right, especially getting older now. You got away with them when I was younger, but I'm getting older. And thank God I feel good. I still work out. I don't do the Penn Relays, but I speed walk in the park. The weather's breaking out up this way, and I'm sure in your neck of the woods too. But brothers, do y'all have in place a dietary program to try to work with these kids to teach them about organics? And just last point, up here, they're teaching, and I'm proud up here in Newark, New Jersey, they have co-ops where when you walk in, you try to get, you know, your veggies plucked out of the ground fresh, and Rashad knows about this because we do the farmers markets and when it's warm, you know, the cucumbers, the carrots, the tomatoes, stuff like that. But a lot of kids now wearing the little green shirts with the name of whatever co-op they're working with, and they're teaching young people gardening, how to garden for themselves and grow their own food. So do you guys have anything in place like that? Are you looking forward to putting something like that program for the children in place?
I want to answer this one. Yeah, so
okay,
other than William to chime in, because William's is a health fanatic, okay? Like, he would try to be the most healthy person I know. I'm not going to lie.
Is he pulled right down
like,
your alley or what?
Yeah, like, he probably has a whole plan in his head. He hasn't even shared with me yet. But in regards to teaching kids how to grow things and, you know, nutritional value of whatnot, from a STEM perspective, we talk about the system, right? We talk about man-made systems, which is technology, and natural systems. And one of the most common natural system that a youth is accustomed to is the body, right? And then, you know, with that, I historically I've taught a lesson in which, you know, provides, you know, we break down the body more so, like understanding that, you know, the body is 98% water, you know, and like, using that metaphor, if you have a glass of water and you put that glass of water anywhere, with a clear glass of water, what do you see through that glass of water? You see a reflection of the environment, right? You see a reflection, and it fits the container, and that's exactly, you know, consistent with the human condition. You're a product of the environment and the things you put inside of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one lesson in regards to, like, you know, understanding the body and nutrition and whatnot. But we don't have a dietary situation set up, but that, you know, I'm glad you bring that up because I think that's very valuable for sure. But in regards to growing things, I teach hydroponics, aquaponics, which is and aeroponics. So I'm actually have some of my students doing some research right now for the Capstone project to develop a home system that, you know, allows you to grow things using a fish tank, essentially. And, you know, the goal is to have one. I have one of those contract. Really, I want to take their project, that their prototype, and put it in the space to act as to show people. You know, show people in the community this is how you grow things indoors. You know, sustainably. So yeah, that's definitely something on my radar for sure in regards to providing that to the community and the youth.
Oh, that's wonderful, well, brother. Because I just ordered, and I'm waiting for my wheatgrass juicer to come in. I have one. I got a manual one here, but I think I prefer the electronic one. But I got six trays here. I just ordered some organic soil. I have the 60-ounce bag here. Came in the mail a couple of days ago, and I got the wheatgrass berries. And you know, I do a little compost because when I do raw juicing, I kind of, you know, put that on the bottom and then let, you know, put the dirt over for compost, you know. But yeah, but brother, that's good. And now, wait a minute, I just wanted to, now, and Michelle may have to fact check something, not criticizing you, brother. I thought that because when I bring on the brothers and the sisters that talk health and nutrition, now you're saying the body is comprised of 90% water. I thought it was. I thought
98. But that's why I said. I thought it was 70%. I rephrased it. That's what I was told previously. But it might be 70 now. I don't know. New information comes out constantly, so I haven't Googled it myself. But you're probably right.
Yeah. No, I was just asking. Rashad, is it 70%, brother?
Yeah, it is 70%. The body is 70%, and the brain is in the 90s.
Right. Oh, okay. Rashad, you there, brother? I think Rashad might be making a smoothie. He was just with us. Okay. I know that's why when I do my smoothies, Brother Brandon, Brother Wim, and Sister Ali, I always make sure that I get an avocado and put in that bad boy some blueberries, some bananas, and I do hemp seed, flax seed, chia seed, and also sprouted sunflower seeds, you know. And we all, one day, you know, I got to get Wally on here to talk about the sea moss, my brothers, all right? Because Dr. Savy taught us about the sea moss, and I've been an advocate and a fan of sea moss, just like Brother Rashad and also Brother Leon down there. You know, everyone loves their sea moss. You know, whenever I think of sea moss, I just think of Brother Dr. Savy, you know. But, okay, with that being said, well, Sister Ali, you ready to open up the – yes. Hello?
Let me say something real quick. Go ahead, brother. I want to go back. I want to back it up a little bit. I just laid back and I just waited to hear what's going on. The brother's father, who that was, what's your name?
I think that was Brandon, right?
That was Brandon. Yeah,
Brandon. Listen, Brandon, I want to express two things to you real quick. First of all, I seen the gentleman's interview that was speaking that ran in the race, and that's when he told him that he was going to be running in the race. So I did see that speech, and he let them know to be in the race. And so I did see that interview. And I did watch that. As far as your father's concerned, brother, I knew your father. I didn't know him personally, but I don't know what you know, but let me share a little bit about what I know. This was in the late 60s, early 70s, when he started that. And some of the Europeans back then did not want him to formulate. So the whole college shut down and protested because he was bringing them heavy hitters in there. And they tried to tell them what they can say and what they could not say. But when everybody protested because they wanted it, the college kids, Europeans and melanated, stepped up to the plate. They had to let them come in and do that speech. And that's how come I know who your father is, because I followed that and studied that also. They didn't want Ali coming in. They didn't want the gentleman coming in that he had the heavy hitters. But he got him in there because everybody came together and got him up in there anyway. So I do know that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I don't know.
That's
who knows that.
No, I didn't know. I don't know. That makes sense. That makes total sense because that school was so, like,
racist.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Everything was a fight.
Yeah.
From what I heard.
So I do know of your father because I followed the story. I just wanted you to know.
Awesome. Thank
you. No coincidence. Thank you.
That's Brother Leon from Atlantic City. You're getting that fresh air from the ocean while it lasts, because if Putin touched that button and this foolish country with Biden is punk behind, you can kiss this plant goodbye, everybody, you know, with all the nuclear war. And Russia got more than what we got, so watch it.
Yeah.
I don't think it get to that point, but I pray.
I don't
there's
either.
No telling what the devil mindset
with.
Out here. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But Jay, we're going to go to the lines and see if we have any questions for
Brother,
either.
Brother Vance.
Yes, sir.
This is William. Now, I just want to say real quick, the one thing with the mentoring program,
yes, sir.
I did incorporate in years past physical activity component and like health and nutrition as a result, because I do understand, you know, my students were coming with these black bags like from the corner store, and I knew
yes,
that was going to set them off for the rest of the day when I was in education. And then even being in higher ed right now, whenever I see my students coming to my office with, you know, junk food, it lets me know that there's junk going on up inside their head. So now that is a component. that is completely a component. And because I lost my mother to cancer when I was 23, literally, like I've been, you know, as Brandon said, I've been like a health fanatic.
So he really about that life.
I believe him.
We're going to make sure of that. And like my father, he died of a heart attack, but he developed diabetes. And, you know, I just told him, you know, I'm like, look, man, you can reverse all this, but it's up to you. You've got to put that fork down. But, you know, my father was the man that he was going to live his life the way he lived it. So.
I can relate because I lost my mother at an early age. She had pancreatic cancer, and I was 19. And my father was 6 weeks away from his 90th birthday, but he was on so much stuff, man. You know, he was a retired police officer here in North. And unfortunately, you know, I said, Pop, come on, man. You know, you can reverse a lot of this. I called my father just to check on me and my brother, and he'd be in the diner 1 o'clock in the morning. I said, Pop, what you eating? He used to tell me, mind your business, but he would tell me, roast beef, macaroni and cheese, sweet potato. I said, Pop, did you throw a green in there? He said, no, listen, I've been living this long, son. You know how some of our parents were. They were just, couldn't tell them nothing because we were still their children, okay? And then my father used to come in and see me make smoothies, and one day he used to look at me, he said, son, I need to start liquefying my food. I said, you think, Pop? He used to sit down here on the couch, pat his stomach, look like he was about 6 months pregnant. So I got to get rid of this. I said, well, stop hanging out at the diner late at night trying to entertain his little lady friends, okay? But he, you know, like I said, sometime, you know, I mean, he meant well. My father built the house in Ghana, and he financially helped educate some of the some of our brothers and sisters over there, because, you know, they're struggling over there. But some of the people over there said, oh, man, your father was gold when he found he passed away, and they wanted to give him a celebration. And over this way in Newark, New Jersey, they have a little Ghanaian to Newark connection, because we have quite a few of our brothers and sisters over here in this neck of the woods. They spreading out, you know. And you know what? I'm going to say this to you, Brother Brandon, Brother William, and Sister Ali, for future reference, all right, because I know this brother, his name is Manny. He's from Ghana. And there's a sister that calls me every now and then. They have a Kumasi. It's a province in Ghana. And I've asked, and unfortunately, it's 10 out of 10 times I ask our African-American brothers and sisters here in this country, I said, listen, do you feel a sense of arrogance from our brothers and sisters from Africa? They all say yes, okay? Now, I know some people from Ghana, and I see how they deal, and there is a certain amount of arrogance. So I talked to my man Manny, and Manny said, you're right. In Ghana, the black man and the black woman here in America are portrayed as gangbangers. They want to beat you out your money. They're criminals. all right? They steal from each other, and they don't take advantage of the opportunities that they have in this country. That's why we come here, to better our lives. But then Manny turned around and said to me, but I'm reading a book, and I'm trying to educate my constituency. It's called The Division in Black Culture, he said, and I understand your spirit, he told me. And I said, thank you, brother. You keep talking to the brothers and sisters from Ghana. Because there is a certain amount of arrogance from them, but you can't stir everybody in the same pot, just like you can't stir all of them. And I proved that through my conversation with that brother, okay? So what I'm saying, I'm going to have a panel of some of my brothers and sisters from Africa here, and we're going to, like I said, we communicate. And maybe there's some people that are listening have that arrogance to say, hey, maybe my attitude toward my brothers and sisters here in America who came from Africa, like Malcolm X said, make no mistake about it, you are African, you know, because I used to look at all Malcolm's speeches. My father had the records in the basement, okay? So we're gonna have to have this conversation again. And Brother Brandon and Brother William, I got I'm sure you brothers, are you brothers, any of you brothers familiar with, I mentioned this, Sister Ali, Dr. Layla Africa, a healer for our culture. Are you familiar with that brother before he passed? Any one of you two,
no.
Brandon or William? You ever heard
I'm
of Layla Africa? Okay.
I'm
well, he passed away 2 years ago, unfortunately. The third week, I announced it earlier when you guys were trying to come on, I think you heard it, but the third Saturday this month behind the Space for Grace sisters, we're going to have the Center. These are his students. The Center for African Holistic Health, they're located in Brooklyn. They'll be on. And also, the last Saturday this month, I got Renee Oakes. All right? If you Google, I know you guys probably got pen and pad in case you want to make some notes. If you Google on YouTube Gary Tunsky, T-U-N-S-K-Y, he was a steroid abuser. He was ignorant. He admitted it. He turned his life around. He learned about health and cellular nutrition, and he actually helped, according to his wife, reverse cancer in certain people that were under his tutelage. Unfortunately, sometimes it's too little, too late, because he didn't even let his wife know the damage he did through his steroid abuse. But he admits it when he's talking to people, and he's trying to be a healer.
Yeah.
You know, it's called What in the Cell is Going On. I was talking to Brother Rashad about it, and also she comes on a program on the Progressive Radio Network. And you guys, if you need this information, I'll get the number to you. She comes on, it's called What in the Cell is Going On, okay? So I want you brothers to tune in. We're going to stay in contact, and I thank Sister Ali for this connection. All right. Now, what I'm going to do is, Jay, how much time do we have? Can we bring, is anybody hit the number one button? Because I don't know, people will get mad at me on text me tomorrow. I was trying to get in. You talking so much, Forrest.
You got it. Yeah, you got a couple of people.
Okay, yes, 847. Bring him in,
right.
Jay.
All right.
All right.
Seven seven one six, you live.
7716, like my man said, go go go. You might have to unmute yourself. You're unmuted. Unmute yourself in case you had the mute button on, which you shouldn't on your phone. 7716, Jay, you said.
Yeah, we got on. We also got 0088, you live.
0088, that's Rashad.
Yeah, that's me, brother.
That's Rashad. That's Rashad's cell phone.
Let me tell you what happened. See, I had gotten in a car with my wife. We're driving a family member home, and so I had to get on my cell phone. And you were asking me about the water, and I thought you heard me, but I said, they don't have this number. So, and with the thing about the water, when you asked how much water the body consists of, it is from 70 to 90% depending on the person.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to say this too, because when you take in water, the first to receive the water is the brain. And then the brain distributes the rest of the water according to which organ needs it most, which is the most hydrated.
That's right.
And that's how that works. So mm-hmm. just keep that in mind. But it is about 70 to 90% water. So anyway, like I said, I just slipped up. I didn't think about it. So, but yeah, hopefully, brother, y'all in Philadelphia?
Yes.
Yeah, because I know they have a lot of people out there into health, and you have to educate these youth on health, because if they're not educated, they're going to suffer with a lot of sickness and disease from the dietary habits they have, the lifestyle they have. And we need more people out there. If you are into health, you have to share that wisdom with them as much as possible. If you can get groups of them together and just do lectures, that would be a benefit for a lot of them. I used to do some for Israel Recreation Center and talk to a whole group of youth, you know. And I'd bring in some real food and some fake food and show them the difference and what the good one would do for them and what the bad ones would do for them. And I'd share what the ingredients were and how detrimental they were. So, yeah, if you can, if you can get groups of young people together and find a somewhere where you can hold a lecture and share that with them, that would be beneficial. You have to get them when they're real young. Especially, those are the ones you really want to educate first. But anyway, that's all I have to say. I thank you again, Buzz.
Oh, thank you, my brother. That's Rashad. That's our in-house herbalist there, Brother Brandon, Brother William. And I'm going to stay in contact with you guys, because I want you to come on when I do this health and healing thing, because, like I said, it's a connection, getting to know people. And you never know, you might want a number to talk to Sister Shazi from the African Holistic Health, or even Sister Renee Oaks. And me and Sister Ali were talking about the stone from Russia. What was the name of that stone again, Sister Ali?
Shungite.
The Shungite stone, where it purifies the water and you can wear it around your neck. And she sent me one in the mail. I knew nothing about, I heard about stones having a medicinal benefit, but this lady was telling me about the stones that she uses for her water, and she wears one around her neck. And she's sending me one, because she talked my head off, but it was worth it. It was worth sitting down and talking to her for an hour and a half. Okay, but in the meantime, Sister Ali, let's see if we got anybody else that wants to call in, because we're on short time here, because time goes by so fast when you're spreading the wealth. Brother Jay, we got anybody else on? Wants to come in?
No, the people that they hung up already.
Oh, they did? Okay, because some people prematurely hit the number one button. So, Sister Ali, we're gonna we got like about 7.5 minutes left, so we're gonna let you take these brothers out in style, and take yourself out in style. And I'm gonna make a few announcements after you guys go off. But I just want to say personally, I want to thank Brother Brandon and Brother Wynn for coming on as guests of Sister Ali, and this will not be your last time, because we need to be updated, because it's not like after you get off this podcast, you brothers going to stay stagnant, hit the remote, and just stay in the house and chomp on some Twinkies and go on a bad diet and just forget about the kids. I mean, you have work to do. We all have work to do. I got work to do, because I'm trying to run 5 days a week, and then also working with my man Jay. So I'm about to put that into effect. I mean, that's the least I can do to give back, because I'm going to tell you guys, mm-hmm. Brother Brandon and Brother Wim, see, I lived during the disco years. Those were some very fun years. It was a good time. Lived in the best of times and know it. And I'm just saying, now it's time. The disco ball and all that stuff has been put up, and now it's time for me to give back, all right? But one thing about me, I've always been the type of guy, Brother Brandon, Brother Wim, I've always been, just like Muhammad Ali was serious, but he was always a jokester, and that's what made him so great. And even Muhammad said he had faults. We all have faults. Nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. But before you leave, it's how you leave. It's how you exit, they always say. And I just want to make sure I exit on a good note. I want people to say, hey, Forrest tried to make a difference. Sister Ali tried to make a difference. Rashad, Brother Leon, Carol, Karen, and you two brothers. So I want you back as my guest. And I'm going to find out your schedule through Sister Ali. Because Sister Ali is going to be with me from now until whenever she feels like leaving, which I hope is never. okay? But, I'm gonna let her take you guys out. And once again, my brother, on behalf of Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself, you are now friends to the podcast. We want you guys back because you're doing good work. I'm sure Brother Leon can piggyback off of that and say something. But thank you, brothers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We definitely
thank you so much for having
us. We definitely needed that information, brothers, because it is positive. Your father was a great man because he was trying to get the word out about our history, not his story, but our history. So your father was a great man. So I just wanted to share that
with you,
brother. But I don't want Brother Jay, don't forget to take me back door so I can get these brothers' telephone numbers.
Yes.
Okay. So on that note, while Jay's doing his magic, we got a few minutes left. Sister Ali, would you like to say something to the podcast audience in terms of maybe what you might have on next month, or you don't have anything planned, you just want them to check the itinerary on my Facebook page?
Both. First of all, I want to thank Brother William and Brother Brandon. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your willingness and your support in this journey. Thank you so much for agreeing to be a part of this. And like Brother Nance said, this ain't the last time. This is the first in many. And we will do what we can to also support your podcast and your activities as much as we possibly can. I do have some things lined up for next month for May, but I need to follow up with the person to make sure that I's are dotted, T's are crossed. It's just my nature. So when those things are in line, it will definitely be on your page on Facebook.
And post it, all right. And Sister Ali,
she's
not a big fan of Facebook. I don't blame her because a lot of us know it really supports the colonizer. Because anytime, if I'm not mistaken, family, now listen, the guy that owns Amazon, which has something to do with Whole Foods too, I'm guilty of shopping
there.
Yeah,
he owns Whole Foods,
and you got to go in there when it's cold out unless you, like I said, growing your own food. But now this guy is talking about going back into outer space. Now, the first time he went in outer space, okay, with his two friends or whatever we went out to space with. He was out there. It was in orbit for 11 minutes. Now, family, listen to this. $2.5 million per minute. That's how much he got charged, I guess, by NASA or would launch his butt out of space. He's about to go back out in outer space again, I heard. Really? Wow. I mean, you could take that money. I wonder how many people that are homeless could get housed with that money or who could get fed that are looking for a meal out on the street. And this man could, I mean, he got $11 million just to blow. And don't forget the arrogance. Oh, well, I want to thank the people that work at Amazon and also the people that patronize Amazon. I'm like, okay. See, this is what I'm talking about. You know, family, we got to wake up. We got to come together. We got to spread what you heard on this program tonight to one another. And most of all, clean up your language out there. Stop all that cursing and start respecting your fellow man. Curtis Mayfield. Play that. Google it. Curtis Mayfield, if you had a choice of colors, which one would you choose, my brother? Play that before you go to bed tonight because I'm going to put on the jazz record. I want to say in departing, thank you to Sister Jacqueline Ali. I know she's not from France. She's right here homegrown. She's right here in the United States. All right, this sister's with me every first Saturday of the month. You can catch her. Next week are the Grace from Space Lady, Sister Karen, Sister Deborah, the Minister Deborah, and Sister Jada from Charlotte, North Carolina. And also, family, don't forget my man, the technician, Randy J. Sean Jackson, keeping it real, all right? He's on every Friday, same number, but he's from 8 to 10, an hour later. So until next week, Sister Ali, you know I'll be talking to you on behalf of Brother Rashad, Sister Carol, Sister Karen, and Brother Leon. I want to thank you for coming on. You have a safe week, and meditate before you go to bed. Listen to some jazz, something slow. Not all that rap crap that's disrespecting our women.
They didn't even know that.
What'd you say?
I got success stories out of kids that they didn't even know that was going to graduate high school at all. And every time they did something, they had to call to come down there to talk to the kids in the high schools. And what I want to share with you, brothers, is this. Is
we got a minute.
I started dealing with the kids like in eighth grade, but now they're letting us deal with the kids in third grade now. The feeding system, if we can get at that early and we can start feeding and shaping and molding their minds, we're not going to talk about that.
Well, on that note, brother, because you're not going to rush nobody, this is why I'm starting second. And Brother Leon's going to have his own show, y'all. It's coming up, all right, in May. So peace and blessings to everybody out there. And on behalf of Sister Ali, Brother Leon, and the rest of the crew, my panel, and the people that are associated with me, peace and blessings. Thank you. And say your prayers. See you next week.
Thank you, and much love.
Thank you.